At an in-town Atlanta bar, an unusual competition is gaining traction as a holiday favorite. Participants say it's an event with more sugar than the Sugar Bowl and even more festivity than the Fiesta Bowl. Reporter Philip Gratzer attended the 4th annual Gingerbread Trailer Park Contest, and he has this report.
Chantel Ritter got the idea for gingerbread trailers when she visited New Orleans a few years back and saw FEMA trailers decorated for Christmas. She figured the trailer motif was ripe for Christmas exploitation.
I thought that gingerbread shouldn't be limited to Victorians and little cabins, when in fact trailer parks are one of the most decorative Christmas things you see.
The design and decorating contest has only a few rules. The trailer park has to fit on a lot the size of a case of beer. Ingredients other than gingerbread can be used, but the entry has to be 90% edible. And no meat is allowed.
But changing the building thing to like no gingerbread required just really turns it on its head, where they can build with sugar wafers and pretzels and like crazy stuff.
Tonight at the Euclid Avenue Yacht Club, a bar 250 miles away from the Atlantic Ocean, competitors dressed in Santa's helper suits and hats or their finest Happy Birthday Jesus t-shirts are pimping their entries for the crowd. Cresta Schaefer just moved to Atlanta.
I just think it's a very fun twist on a Christmas classic. We're the ho-ho hoarders. So we've got our trailer and our little white trash couple and lots of piles of trash around the place. We're winning.
She and four of her friends spent several sober days building their trailer park.
Honestly, there was no drinking involved. We just have messed up minds.
Although a few of the trailer parks are Christmassy cute, Jolene Beckett knows that to win in this sport, you have to be more naughty than nice.
Our exhibit is Loretta Mae Sanders Trailer Park, and it is a lovely subdivision of two trailers, and it is lit up with gorgeous sparkling lights. We've got some mock inflatable snowmen and gingerbread men, a couple of dogs in the yard, and one very large orange marzipan cat peering down over everyone. We do have shoes hanging from the telephone wire and the requisite tires that line the path. We're going to win. We're confident.
She tells me how she made the tires.
Those are cut in half Entenmann's chocolate donuts. We ate a lot of them, too. They're really tasty.
There are R and even X-rated trailer parks. A trailer park called Payday at the North Pole features a reindeer stripper and a drunken Santa passed out in yellow snow. Cameron Ayers recreated a local icon.
Ours is the Starlight Drive-In, have a Christmas Story playing in the background, have the light-up sign, have Palookaville, that is a local guy that sells corn dogs at the drive-in.
Gingerbread, fondant, poppy seeds, and royal icing are the building materials for this model of the last drive-in theater in Atlanta. Like most sports, a key to winning is catching your opponent off guard. That means coming up with a new way to build. One past winner used blue jello for an above-ground swimming pool. This year, there's a trailer built of matzah. According to Ayers, the game plan is a secret.
No one knows what you're doing until you show up here. You don't let on any secrets, no trade techniques, nothing. It's all very secretive and find out different ingredients to use, what works best, different techniques. But no, you don't tell them before the competition.
There's a cash prize for the most creative, unique, and Christmassy entry. But Ayers says it's not about the money.
You want to win. It's bragging rights. I don't care about the prize. I want to say I was better than his was. And it's the competitive. It's just the sheer nature of the sport.
This year's celebrity judge, a local top chef, didn't show. So there were just two judges, a sculptor and Deborah Vallée, a former trailer park winner. Vallée is judged for life because she first brought blue jello swimming pools to the competition. Finally, organizer Chantel Ritter stands on a table and announces the winners.
Honorable mention number 3 is lot number 7, Loretta Mae.
Jolene Beckett's victory speech isn't humble.
We've labored with love and a lot of fondant and marzipan and candied whatnots. Threw it all together, and now it is the most amazing redneck vision of Christmas loveliness that you have ever seen.
Cameron Ayers gets second place for his drive-in theater.
And for first place, for $100.
The loser's disappointment is palpable. But there's always next year. For Only a Game, I'm Philip Gratzer in Atlanta.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. Empire State of Mind, to which you're listening as I speak, has gone 3 times platinum. Gee, I love that kind of talk, but it has recently been edited slightly, at least in Cleveland. The lyric that once ran, "If Jeezy's paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade," has been altered to make the name LeBron unrecognizable by disc jockey Joel Murphy. "I recognize the word LeBron was as offensive to some people as the 7 words you can't say on radio," Murphy said. Hence, he decided to bleep LeBron, and Murphy reports that listeners have said it's a brilliant idea. Card Marley, Labor Day Parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley, Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo, I'm from the Empire State, that's...